2280 P. Eau Claire and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Vicki Barker. They've already rung in 2024 in Australia and New Zealand, and the first of an expected 1 million revelers are already packing New York's Times Square, where security is tight.
While there are no specific credible threats, the NYPD and federal law enforcement are taking extra precautions.
We know how to safeguard events of this size.
With ongoing tension from the Israel-Hamas war, law enforcement is on alert for potential violence.
CBS's Bradley Blackburn. A deadly confrontation in the Red Sea where U.S. forces scrambled to protect a cargo vessel under attack by Yemeni Houthi rebels.
The Houthis fired at the crew on board and then tried to get within the 20 meters of the vessel and then attempted to even board the ship. And responding to their calls, the U.S. Navy helicopters then sank three of them and killed all the Houthis.
BBC's Lipika Pelham. The Houthis have been targeting Western cargo ships they link to Israel in a show of solidarity for Hamas. North Korea's leader's already made his New Year's resolution.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's vow to send three military spy satellites into orbit in 2024, following the North's first ever successful launch last month. Addressing an end-of-year party meeting, Kim also called for the production of more nuclear materials and modern attack drones.
Alex Jensen reporting. Two New Year's observances in Asia now. Japan's include temple bells and feasting.
I'm Lucy Kraft in Hitachi Ota City, Japan. Here and around the country, shoppers were out hunting for last-minute delicacies like sashimi and black beans for their January 1st feast. Many Japanese are quietly celebrating with a bowl of buckwheat noodles, a symbolic link between the old year and the new.
Parts of the California coast seeing a second peak of high and hazardous waves. People living along the Pacific Coast Highway and Ventura County are under an evacuation warning, and would-be spectators are being kept away.
We're just making sure that no one comes down because of the high tide and the storm surf that's coming in right now. So we're just kind of keeping people at bay just for their safety and just to make sure that, you know, everyone's safe and secure right now.
Dean Price of Ventura's Public Works Department. A human wave of migrants continues at America's borders. Hundreds landed in Chicago from Texas this morning. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson telling CBS's Face the Nation.
This is unsustainable. None of our local economies are positioned to be able to carry on such a mission. And what we have attempted to do is to create structure and some coordination around this humanitarian crisis.
The U.S. seeing record arrivals. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Scam artists are preying on people trying to repair their credit. Here's Joe Ullery.
The American Association of Consumer Credit Professionals, best known as AACCP, has issued a warning about rogue credit repair firms whose shady practices prey on consumers who are trying to repair their credit and rebuild their lives. Michael Klotsch with Emergent Strategies, a Washington, D.C.-based consulting firm, says scammers continue working the phones despite a federal judge's landmark ruling.
Essentially, this declares that the law of the land is that if a credit repair company uses telemarketing, either in an outgoing solicitation or referrals through the phones, then they have to wait 6 months before they can bill a consumer.
Klotsch says consumers should always be suspicious of unsolicited calls and texts promising things that seem too good to be true. There are reputable credit repair firms who truly want to help rebuild your credit score. Klotsch says AACCP is a good place to start if you are in the market to rebuild damaged credit, along with others.
Look at the Federal Trade Commission as well as the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to understand your rights in this marketplace. The reality is that repairing your credit is time consuming and is confusing, and there are reputable players that can help consumers advocate for themselves.
Consumers who understand their rights and the law are well on their way to repairing a low credit score and protecting themselves from falling victim to bad actors who cannot follow the rules. I'm Joe Ullery reporting.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some snow and flurries for your Sunday. Mostly cloudy skies, north winds, and highs in the mid-30s. For your New Year's Eve, plan on partly cloudy skies, lows of the upper teens. New Year's Day, sunshine and lower 30s. It's 30 at our studios.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So happy to have you along today. Carol Kane live with me in our studio from beautiful downtown Waukesha. Calvin is on the board. You can always join us. Call or text 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. It is Thursday. That means it is time for our public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Good morning, okay. Dr. Lyerly.
Good morning. I am so ready. How are you guys this morning?
We're great. Hey, I wanted to ask you if you did deliver any babies over the Christmas weekend.
I delivered a Christmas Eve baby, and I've got one cooking upstairs right now.
Okay. All right.
So if I get called away, that's where I'm headed.
Oh, seriously? Is she that close?
No.
No. It's going to be a while. It could be a long process.
But you never know. I mean, sometimes you are very surprised. The baby that I delivered on Christmas Eve, she looked very, you know, calm, comfortable. 30 minutes later, she's holding her crying baby.
Wow.
Well, and you know what, with my daughter, to tell you the truth, because she's just a stinker in real life to begin with, she flipped at the last minute. She was down perfect birthing position. And then all of a sudden she went transverse breech on me. So we had to all of a sudden it was like, oh, we got to get her out, you know? So I was only dilated like 3 centimeters and they were like, we got to go. So you just, you know, I mean, she's fine. Trust me, she's fine. But I mean, you just don't know. And things, like you said, can change it really quickly.
Well, hopefully she
gets. That's one of the things about birth, I think, that people go into it with this magical idea that people have been doing this for centuries and centuries and it's going to be fine. And you know, most of the time it is fine, but it's also very unpredictable. So
right.
I think the more flexible that you can be in your approach to birth and pregnancy, the better off everybody is going
to
be.
Yeah, don't expect your pregnancy to be the same as your friends or right. or your relatives, right? It just doesn't work that way.
So well, 100%. Okay, I got to be honest with you, Doc. I've got to really watch myself with this one subject matter that we're going to be talking about when it comes to penises.
Talk to me about your penis problem, Carol.
No, but I think it was fascinating. You know, when Jane sent me the outline, I was like, wow, here we're going all in on this one.
Well,
so
we use the actual terms for body parts on public cervix announcement, right?
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Yeah, definitely. So this is something I had never heard of, Dr. Lyerly. Data out of Germany suggests that Christmas time is a time for penile fractures.
What's happening?
Christmas is a time for penile fractures.
A new Christmas theme. It'll be a new Christmas song. Let me wait until Greg is back tomorrow and we'll work on something. First of all, what is a penile fracture?
You can actually break your penis.
You can break
it. It is possible. Yeah. There's a reason they call it a boner, I guess, huh?
Every man out there right now is grabbing his privates. You know, this is a horrifying idea.
Yes, this would be. This is horrifying for anybody.
Okay, please talk to me like I'm a 5-year-old. Because how does this happen? I don't get it. How does this happen?
Well, usually with force. So with an erect penis, there are these tunnels inside that fill up with blood. That's all part of the erection process. And with inappropriate force, it can happen during sex, it can happen playing sports, it can happen, you know, anytime that an erect penis is involved in some sort of a traumatic event, you can actually snap or break those tunnels and the lining of the tunnels. And it can damage not just the lining of the tunnels, but it can damage, remember, the urethra runs through there. That's how the pee gets out of your body.
Right.
So it can damage the urethra. So this is an emergency. And it happens rarely, but it does happen. I've seen it even as an OBGYN doctor, I've seen this in medical school. It's very painful. And it typically requires an immediate surgical correction. If you can still pee and it's not something that's, you know, completely horrible, some people choose not to have surgery, but there can then be long-term effects like Peyronie's disease. If you've seen those commercials on TV, the carrot.
I don't know what that is. I'm afraid.
That's the bent penis. There have been a lot of, Calvin, you've seen these commercials, haven't you, for Peyronie's disease? They're all, Calvin's face is like, I do not want to talk about this topic right now.
I know. Calvin's being suspectly quiet.
There are a lot of commercials about this new treatment for Peyronie's disease, because sometimes erect penises aren't straight. They can be a little bit bent, and that's actually fairly common. That's due to scar tissue. So there's a new treatment for that, and I'm not an expert in that area at all. But if you break your penis and it's not like a severe break that needs surgery, it can result in long-term scarring, and that long-term scarring can turn into Peyronie's disease.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is our guest for our public cervix announcement, as we do every Thursday at this time. And we're talking about new data out of Germany, which suggests that Christmas time is a time for penile fractures. 3,400 men, the average age of 42, and 16 years of data. I honestly, Dr. Lyerly, and I don't know why I should be surprised that you can break your penis, because it's got there is a bone in it, right? Or is there not?
No,
there is no bone.
There is no bone. It's these corpus cavernosa. So there's this lining called the tunica albuginea. And it lines the corpora cavernosa, which are just tunnels. And when those tunnels, for blood, when those tunnels fill up with blood, and that's what creates the erect penis, it gets really, it's like a bone. I mean, it's that stiff, and it has to be. And that's why if it's really erect and stiff, it can snap with enough trauma in the right vector. So it's not really, there's no bone in your penis, but it gets stiff because of these
tunnels. So does the data explain, I mean, is there just so much wild sex happening over Christmas time, or are we all going out to play touch football with our friends and we get a little overexcited and get hit wrong?
The data doesn't really go into the reasons. And, you know, it doesn't have to be wild sex. It can just be like you aimed wrong, you know, at some point. Like, you know, when you're having that thrusting, it's possible that the penis can come out and not hit its target and maybe get just to the side of the target. And, you know, with thrusting behind it, that enough trauma could be, I know you're both like your heads are in your hands right now. That was the one case that I saw in medical school, and that is actually a pretty common cause. But, you know, anytime that a penis is erect and there is trauma involved, it is possible that it could break.
This is the longest conversation I've ever had about erect penises.
This could be a radio first, at least in Wisconsin. I'm not sure. It's not funny, obviously, for for men that this has happened to. That's got to be horrible. I can't even imagine. And so they have surgery, Dr. Lyerly, and then it's not like you put a splint on it.
Well, what probably happens, and I don't see this part of it, is they probably end up with a Foley catheter that goes in through the urethra to the bladder so that they can empty their bladder.
Which is not, I understand, is not a pleasant experience at all.
No. We use that in men and women. It's a really common experience for people who can't void to use a Foley catheter. Actually, my patient upstairs has one right now. That happens. And then they have to go in and they have to fix that tunica albuginea, that fabric that creates, it's almost like a tent or, you know, like, what's it gonna, like a balloon. It's like a latex balloon. They have to fix the balloon so that it can hold blood again in the future.
And who does this? This is the job of a urologist, or is there a specific surgeon, doctor that has to do this?
This is a job for a urologist.
Got it. Okay. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Boy.
Be careful out there. I don't know.
And there's one thing about this study that I thought was so funny, that most of these occurrences happened on Saturday nights, but some Fridays, and New Year's was also a time. So fellas, New Year's is coming up. Be aware.
Be aware and watch where you're aiming.
Yeah.
Apparently, direction is going to be very important.
Right. Have your target fully in focus. Have your target ready to go.
Maybe this is also the appropriate time to talk about lube, because that can also help to make sure that things are slippery enough so that you don't end up, even if you don't hit your target head on, you can kind of, you know, like slide into the right spot, because lube can be a very important part of intercourse and making sure that it's comfortable, especially for women as we age.
Yes.
You know, menopause. Yeah, you don't have that same natural, normal lubrication. So to have something that works for your body, whether it's a water-based, silicone-based, some people even use things like almond oil, like something that you can find in your kitchen cabinet. Yes, you can use those things, and they're safe. They're not bad for you.
Almond oil, I would never have thought.
No. Mm-hmm.
Can it?
Olive oil.
Crisco.
Oh, God. Stop. Jane, stop.
I'm just asking questions. I'm curious.
See, I mean, my father was a pharmacist, so we had a whole big section. So I, you know.
You knew about all that stuff?
All that stuff, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Lube is a thing. When I go to my professional conference, there's actually, in the past, there have been lube bars where all the lube people who are selling it, they show up and they've got their wares out there, and they'll, like, you know, they rub it on your arm to show you how slippery it is. There's a giant flowery vulva in the back of the display. You guys really need to come to some of my conferences. They are a lot of fun.
You must have the best jokes. I can't even imagine the jokes that are generated at your conferences. We may have to tag along just for grins.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about breasts. When we return, are your breasts normal? You're listening to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, our public cervix announcement. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Should be making love. Come on, how many guys you know make
love? Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So very happy to have you along. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Carol Kane with me live in studio. Galvin is on the board. And as she is every Thursday, in for our public service announcement, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. We were talking in the earlier segment about penile fractures, which apparently happen this time of year over the holidays. Angie from Monroe texted in, I just want to say I learned something new today. That's why we're here.
Exactly.
That's why we're here, to pass on knowledge.
Well, I've made it very clear that that's a goal of mine every day, to learn something new. So thank you, doctor. I appreciate you giving me the info.
It's my sincere pleasure.
And if you ever have a question for Dr. Lyerly, please feel free to call in or text at 844-967-2789, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. All right, switching from penises to breastises, are your breasts normal?
No. No, seriously, mine aren't. I always call them Marty Feldman eyes because they're kind of like going different directions.
What is not normal about that?
Thank God I found a man who loves me. You know what I mean?
Are they supposed to be directional? I'm not sure. So take us through the quiz, Dr. Lyerly. There is a quiz to determine whether or not your breasts are normal.
All right. So the first question is, should both of your breasts be the same size?
I would say no.
No.
What? Calvin, are you gonna
Calvin's like, no.
Calvin's like, I do not.
I'm totally staying out of this.
Okay.
Typically, no. Most people have breasts that are either the breast itself is not, they're not the same size, or the nipples and the nipple complex are not the same size. So most people actually have asymmetrical breasts. Good job.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not, human bodies are not
perfect.
Right? We're not symmetrical. Everything's not even.
No.
And Have you ever seen those studies where they take somebody's face and they cut it in half and then they do a mirror image of one side of your face to the other side and you look like a different person?
Yeah.
Because even your face isn't symmetrical.
That's kind of freaky.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, it is weird, but never mind.
All right. Question number two. Are my breasts normal?
Extra nipples, either I... happen in women more than men, or two, can grow anywhere, even your face.
Wow.
We know about the triple nipple, you know, like there, we know Marky Mark has an extra nipple.
Right.
We know Chandler Bing from Friends has an extra nipple. Does it happen more often in men, or can they grow anywhere, even your face?
I'm going to go with men.
Men. That's what I was going to go with that one too.
This happens more with men. Or can we grow them on our face?
Carol,
yes.
Carol, write this one down. They can grow anywhere, even your face.
Okay, I wake up in the morning and I've got a nipple on my cheek. I'm coming to you. I'm going to go, okay, doc, do something about this.
Is this something that happens when you're young? Or can it
you're
just...
born.
You're born, okay.
Well, we're mammals. So think about cats and dogs and the nipple line that they have. You know, they don't just have like two like we mostly do.
Right.
They have a whole line because they tend to have a litter. Well, we actually have a nipple line that goes mostly from your armpit down to your pubic area, But it actually can go, people can have nipples on their legs, they can have nipples on their necks and on their faces.
Okay.
So, okay.
Yeah.
That's very, your body must be very confused because your face is nowhere near your nipples. It's like, concentrate.
But yet your nipples can be on your face.
Okay.
Good to know.
All right.
What's our next question?
All right. One more thing. It may not look like a nipple. It may look like a little birthmark.
Interesting.
Okay.
So how is it?
So it probably doesn't look like a full-fledged, like, you know, areola, nipple. The whole thing. And sometimes, depending on the nerve stimulation, it can actually have the ability to, like, to get erect, like a nipple would get erect. Like your breast nipples would get erect.
You know what? This is mic drop time. I'm just like, I'm out.
We have 7 more questions to get through.
Okay.
Next question.
Hair around your nipple is A, unusual, B, common, C, a sign of a problem.
I think
hairy nipples.
I think it's B.
I think it's B too.
Yeah, it is normal to have a few small hairs on the areola. And it's okay to cut them, but it's recommended not to pluck them.
Ow.
Oh, okay.
Good to know. Next question.
Can you reach orgasm from nipple play only?
Yes.
Yes.
Atta girl! Yes, you can! Good work. You answered that very quickly, and so we'll move right on to the next question, which is, a breast is A, a muscle, B, an organ, or C, an appendage?
C, appendage.
Yeah, I agree. It's an appendage full of fat.
Well, maybe at this point in your life it is, but at one point it was an organ that has a purpose, and its purpose is to produce milk.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right, Dr. Lyerly, we got a few questions left to go before we got to go. What's next?
How much weight does breast milk add? 1/4 pound, 1/2 pound, or 1 pound?
Well, we've talked about the magical properties of breast milk.
Yeah.
And how it really is like nothing else. So I'm going to go with C.
But doesn't that vary by the individual?
It definitely varies. On average, though, breast milk can add up to 1/2 pound.
Okay.
That's great.
Okay.
Okay.
Which, think of the pressure that puts on your back. You know, like it screws up your posture, and breastfeeding is no joke, my friends, but it is worth it if you can.
Yeah, if you can. Absolutely. But we've talked about the difficulties and all the planning that's involved and right. And it's a process.
Yeah,
it's a process. Mm-hmm. All right. Next.
Breastfeeding makes your breasts sag. True or false?
I'll say false.
I'll say false, too.
It is false, although a lot of people believe that it's true. It's false because age makes your breasts sag, not breastfeeding.
Yeah, gravity will always win.
Yeah, trust me.
Unless there's some extra added infrastructure or something, gravity is always going to win. All right, briefly in the time we have left.
Nipple leakage is normal, yes or no?
I would say no.
I would say no, too.
Only when you have a baby.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise something is not right. Right, Dr. Lyerly?
Yep. Okay. Yes, if you have nipple leakage and you're not in the pregnancy postpartum period, talk to your doctor. Very important.
I got to be honest. You know what? I got to be honest with you. I went shopping at a mall right after I had Elizabeth. I came home and looked in the mirror and I was absolutely mortified. I was just like, what happened?
One more real quick.
All right. Question 10. Most women are happy with their breasts. True or false?
I would say no, because we're never happy with anything.
You're right. False. Most women are not happy with their breasts. But if you're not happy with your breasts, there are things you can do. Again, talk to your doctor. Lots of plastic surgery options. Lots of things we can do to help.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly, our guest, thank you so very much. It has been a very informative half hour. Happy, happy New Year. I hope you get your New Year's baby this weekend.
Happy New Year. Take care of yourself out there. It's a dangerous world.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
When
bye-bye.
We return, Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com will be here. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Go.
step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
In fact, it's on tap every day.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. It's already 2024 in Sydney, Australia.
Happy New Year!
The first of an estimated 1 million visitors already packing into New York's Times Square, where security is tight amid fears that tensions over Gaza could erupt into violence. And that violence continues in the Red Sea.
The U.S. Navy says it has sunk three Houthi rebel boats in the Red Sea after they attacked a Maersk container ship for the second time in 24 hours. The vessel was approached off the coast of Yemen by four small boats.
BBC's Danielle Yalo-Yetska, the Houthis have been attacking Western vessels in a show of solidarity with Hamas. With the monthly total of migrant arrivals in the U.S. on track to reach a record 300,000, Denver's Mayor Mike Johnson telling CBS's Face the Nation.
We need federal dollars to help support our work here in the cities. We also need federal dollars for more support at the border, the ability to adjudicate asylum claims more quickly so they can be done in 90 days and not in 4 to 6 years.
CBS News Brief, I'm Vicki Barker.
Packers battle the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Packers and the Vikings tonight on Sunday Night Football. Both teams trying to keep their wild card playoff hopes alive, but another setback for Green Bay defensive back Eric Stokes. He's been placed on IR after suffering another hamstring injury. Backup safety Benny Sapp has been promoted to the 53-man roster. On this day, New Year's Eve 1967, the Packers beat the Cowboys 21-17 in the Ice Bowl, 13 degrees below zero at Lambeau Field. After the game, quarterback Bart Starr on just how slippery the field was.
We were having real poor footing down there, and we had some couple of good plays we felt in that situation. We couldn't even put it in with those. The backs were sliding when they would start, and really we could run out of ideas. We didn't know what to do.
Starr scoring the winning touchdown on a quarterback sneak, and head coach Vince Lombardi asked about the game-winning drive.
We didn't do anything differently. We added one little play from the sidelines, and that was it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows in the low 20s. New Year's Day, partly sunny with a high around 30. Partly cloudy Monday night, lows in the mid 20s. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy, high around 34. Partly sunny and upper 20s on Wednesday. That's Severe Studios weather.
It's 30 at our studios.
The more than 27,000 Union Carpenters who call the North Central States home wish you a healthy, happy, and safe holiday season. Unions built the middle class, and union carpenters work hard every day to build our communities while they build good careers that provide for their families. This season, we hope you get to enjoy time with friends and family. Happy holidays from Executive Secretary Treasurer Pat Nelson and the staff of the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 93.5, The Tap.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Asgo's Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in the studio. Calvin is on the board, and she is joining us, Kristen Bry, live on the stream. You can always watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Good morning, my friend. How was Frankie Lou's first Christmas?
It was great. It was the perfect blend of fun and chaotic. but, you know, I feel like holidays with family is always like that. But she did. It's funny because my brother, historically, every Christmas when he was a kid, got sick. He had either the stomach flu or a cold or something. And she indeed did have a really stuffy nose. And so a lot of Christmas was the combo of spraying saline up there and her going, I don't like this.
Why are you doing this?
You're supposed to protect me.
And then having a booger sucker, which she really didn't like, which I don't think any kid likes. overall, it was very fun. She got lots of gifts that she has no idea are for her.
Yep.
But it was very fun.
I'm just curious. I mean, was it lots of toys or lots of clothes or what did
not
what did
a lot
people...
of clothes?
No.
It was a lot of Debbie Bry, the former occupational therapist, who is very into the developmental toys. So the cute thing that I think she likes the most right now is because their vision's still,
she's improving. She's 3 months old.
She's 3 months old now. Yeah. But so they really like high contrast, colorful things because they can see it more easily. So there's like little wristbands and socks that have like their rattles. And she can see them because they're high contrast little socks that like. So as she starts to move her feet, she knows she can start to correlate like, oh, I'm making that sound.
Those are my feet.
And so we've been putting those on her and she just stares at them like, oh, my gosh.
It's got to be so wild just to think what is going on in there. What is right? You know, what is she all absorbing and what is she all? It's just got to be fascinating to watch her progress.
Absolutely. It's been, and she's every day I feel like we get more smiles. We haven't quite gotten a laugh yet, but she is, and she's like 13 pounds.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. Which is wild because once again, we were reminded that my dad out as a newborn was 13 pounds.
Jesus.
And so as I hold her, I'm like, I can't imagine birthing this.
Oh
my poor grandmother.
Lord.
But I've met your father. That was a long 13 pounds. That was,
I think he was 2 feet. I think he was 20. I think he was 13 pounds and 24 inches, my grandmother said at Christmas, as it reminded me. And so that is basically how big she is right now.
That's crazy.
But a newborn. It's wild. And then she had 4 more kids.
Wow. Yeah.
Being a tall gent myself, there are very few men who, when I meet them, I have to like look up at them. Mr. Bry is one of them. When I met him, he's like, I'm Kristen's father. I'm like, I know, sir.
You should have seen my husband standing next to him. My husband is shorter than me.
Yeah.
It was like, he was like, I need a step stool to even talk to this guy. Anyway, I'm glad she's doing well. I'm going to see the baby on Friday.
I know.
Because there's this unspoken competition among some at Civic Media on how long they get to hold Francis. And it comes up in meetings now.
Yeah.
By the way, I saw the baby and I held her for 40 minutes. Oh, by the way, I saw the baby and I held her for an hour and a half.
Well, because I got to go to Madison last week and
Luke had her.
I think we talked about it. We talked about it last Wednesday. And so, yes, the Madison office finally got to meet baby Frankie Lou.
I'm just okay, Jane. Are you willing to put in the work to get 1 hour and 31 minutes?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Sure. All right.
I can do that.
All right. Just a bit. All right. Cool.
As long as Kristen's right there and I can give it back to her in case anything goes wrong.
Yeah.
Then we'll be fine. All right.
Give her your nipple.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, no. I'm only 25 minutes in and she needs a boob.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Oh, boop, boop. Take her back. All right. We're moving on to the good, the bad, and the Spirit Airlines did what? I'm not sure if you heard about this, but the good news is, and this is from an article in WPR, the total number of unemployment is down. Wisconsin's labor force continues growing. This is from the latest from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. The total number of non-farm jobs across Wisconsin hit a record high of more than 3 million in the month of March. That's more than 32,000 additional jobs compared to the same time last year, and even an increase of 1,700 compared to October. So that's good. Wisconsin's unemployment rate, 3.3% last month. That is up 0.1% from October, but still that's lower. The national average is 3.7%. So Wisconsin is still in pretty good shape.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's so interesting. I feel like we've talked about it on this show. I think many shows have talked about it. This just disconnect between more traditional indicators of a good economy, all saying it's a strong economy, and yet people feeling
like it's not.
They're still more expensive. And I saw a TikTok the other day, because let's be honest, that's where I still get a lot of my information, for better or for worse. And someone did the math on between an increase in mortgage rates because of the interest rates and stuff like that, and just the increased cost of everything, that, you know, making 70 grand, what was a competitive, you know, like solid salary, just does not go that far anymore.
Right.
And so I get the fact that, like, we do look at the unemployment rate and it's like, it's good, but it's also, what are the jobs? How much are the jobs paying? Can people still feel like they're doing well, or and can continue to do well?
And one of the things we had this conversation last week, I was talking to a friend of mine and he just sort of blurted out, he goes, and you know, the economy is terrible. I said, no, it really isn't. And I gave him some numbers. I said, the economy is doing really well. It might not be doing good for you or for me or for individuals, but we're so conditioned to just say the economy sucks that we just accept that as truth. And we say it because it's hard to break it down. I mean, I only say things like job numbers, inflation numbers, and the fact that, you know, the job creation has gone up. But to get any deeper into it, it's eyes glazed. But when I said to him all those numbers and I said, it's traditional to say the economy sucks, but it's not as bad as people think. He goes, oh, okay. And that was it. That was it. That's all it took. Like three numbers that I memorized. And he was like, I'm on board. Cool.
I buy that.
Yeah.
Again, I think, Kristen, it's people's lived experience, and it's the fact, again, that prices are still high. Groceries are still high. But your former professor, Robert Reich, who does, I never see him on TikTok, but I see him do videos on Twitter. You know, he talks about corporate greed all the time, and that's why things are still so expensive. And corporate profits have gone through the I mean, they're doing just fine.
Would you say J.P. Morgan
and there's
was
also... Like, the wealth disparity in general in this country is as bad as it's ever been.
It's a new gilded age.
There is continuing a group of people who continue to do very well. And a lot of people, the majority of people, who continue to
struggle,
spread a dollar thinner and thinner.
But we also now live in a time where credit is more available and quote unquote finer things are available, that the people who are living that gilded life can convince us who are in the middle class and the lower middle class, you can have your own version too. And we have our own version, but we just can't afford it. But we somehow put it on the cards. We put it, you know, I mean, and that's a big problem, is that people are living a life that they can't truly afford.
And that's the one thing I want to push back on when we say, like, because what were the crazy numbers after Black Friday and Cyber Monday of like how much people spent?
Yeah.
Over, it was like a record year, despite everything being more expensive, despite people saying conflation's still high, despite the dollar not going as far, the amount, it didn't show up in what people spent on sales, right? And like, there's still some discretionary, there's a lot of discretionary income out there that people, either that or they're just really making bad financial decisions.
Well, I do think that the credit debt that Americans are carrying now is just out of this world.
And the interest rates on credit cards now are just as a base level between 14% and 29%,
which blows my mind.
Kristen, you just made mention of this year's Black Friday. This year's Black Friday was $9.8 billion, which was up 7.5 from 2022. Cyber Monday was 12.4 billion, a 9.6 increase in 2022. And I'm wondering, of that increase, like, for me, I'll be honest, when I go and Christmas shop, 98% of it's on Amazon, and I put it on a private label card from Amazon, I get credit back, and then I pay it off. But how much of that money being spent, those increases are being spent on credit? Because people are like, well, I just...
And now is that like the highest interest rate that it's been in
exactly. in ages.
So so we can afford to live that fancy life that they've sold us. We can't afford 15 cars and, you know, two houses, but we...
You can aspire to some.
I got
of those
that
things.
Stanley mug.
Okay, that's.
I don't know why everyone wanted that. Everyone wanted that this year. People were going crazy for.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a mug. It's just a mug. It's nothing more than it looks like a mug, but it has the name Stanley on it. People were like freaking out. I saw a girl get one for Christmas on an Instagram reel, and she was crying because it's all she wanted for Christmas was a mug. It's just a sip of water.
Is there a famous Stanley that this is named
Stan
after?
Lee from Marvel's in there. Every cup. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I don't understand those trends. Like to me,
Furby, they bottled his ethos.
Yeah. You drink one drink, you're like, Excelsior. Stan Lee fans get that. But yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine I'll look it up, but what credit card debt is right now.
It's
and
pretty
the average interest rate. And they're selling it to us and we just kind of go, well, I got to buy presents.
There's nothing I can do about it.
You know?
Yeah. All right, moving on to the bad.
This felt like the bad.
I know. Well, it kind of added the bad. We need snow, and there are definitely businesses that are built around this. So ski hills, there have been a whole bunch of ski hills that I don't think have even opened yet this year.
Jeez.
And it's very expensive to make snow.
Yeah.
And conditions have to be, I heard a guy yesterday, it's got to be like 27.5 degrees. In order for perfect snowmaking conditions. And so we haven't even gotten close to that. Maybe last night, because the car was frosted when I got out this morning, but it's been pretty darn mild up to this point. And then I think about all the snowplow drivers. And there are a lot of people who do that on the side.
I have a buddy who owns a business. That's his business. Like he has a main job, but it's a lucrative side gig that he's grown over the past few years. And he's like, I won't start working in probably till mid-January.
If that.
Yeah. And I'm going to lose money this year.
We didn't have, I mean, remember, I feel like on the show in January last year, we covered the fact that the lake hadn't frozen over. Lake Michigan was like, there were the freezing, how frozen Lake Michigan was all the environmental, like ecosystems issues that was causing because it just wasn't that cold yet.
Yeah.
And then it got cold. I feel like February, we got snow. In March, we got snow. So at least in my time since moving back, it's felt like December and January are really mild. And we still get a winter, but it just comes later.
And that's
not to say that it doesn't screw with people's jobs
and
with the environment.
Right. Absolutely.
And we talk about that a lot. And I made mention last week, and I mentioned it during Christmas with family, too. It's like, if you're a kid of a certain age, if you are in high school or younger, you don't know what our Christmases were like, or our winters were like just even 10, 15 years ago. This is what you're used to. Snowy December is weird to you because you're just not used to that anymore. It's January and all of February.
Oh, I mean, we were talking about that on Christmas too, about you youngsters don't know what it was like back in the day when we had entire mountains of snow in the parking lot next to us. But I mean, we would build forts.
Yeah.
We would build forts. Yeah. If there was just that much.
When I was younger, you get school would be canceled for a
couple days.
Amount of snow. Now it's canceled for cold.
For cold. Yeah. All right. When we return, it's the good, the bad, and Spirit Airlines did what? You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you.
93.5 The Tap.
If you're looking for a different way to ring in the new year, Wisconsin has its own version of the Times Square Ball Drop. It's the Big Cheese Drop, a giant glittering wedge of Satori cheese lowered every year outside the Art Center known as the Times Square of Plymouth, Wisconsin, the cheese capital of the world. The celebrations include cheese tasting, music, games, and the Big Cheese Drop at 10. It's a family-friendly event. I'm Terry Barr, and from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matt there in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is with me in studio. Calvin's on the board. Kristen joining us on the live stream. You can always watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and on Twitter. And if you would like, don't forget to download the Civic Media app.
Hey, Jane, is that app free?
The app, Greg Bach, is free.
Whoa.
And I can't say that it will change the course of your entire life, but it shouldn't make it worse. That's our unofficial sales line for the app. Kristen, what do you think?
I like it. You also have to clarify there's no in-app purchases. Because there's a lot of, almost every app you can download for free. Well, that's not true. There's some that are like $2. But a lot of those apps, once you get in there, a lot of things are gated until you pay.
Oh.
But everything, you can download it for free and use all features available for free.
Including calling and texting directly from the app, which is pretty slick.
That's pretty slick.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. It's the good, the bad, and the Spirit Airlines did what? Over the weekend, a six-year-old boy who was on a flight to head to his grandmother's in southwestern Florida, was put on the wrong plane. And he ended up 160 miles away in Orlando.
This is Home Alone 2. The
pretty
plot
much,
of Home Alone 2.
I think at this point it's Home Alone 6.
Yeah, fair.
When his grandmother showed up Thursday at Southwest Florida International in Fort Myers to pick him up, who was flying for the first time from Philadelphia, she was told, yeah, he's not here. We didn't have any kids.
So wait, where did he end up?
He ended up in, he was supposed to go to Fort Myers.
Party.
And he ended up in Orlando.
So the right, got to the right state.
He was in the right state, yes. But not the right city.
Small and almost, victories, everyone. Small victories.
And almost 200 miles away. So she's, grandma says, I ran inside the plane and I said, where's my grandson? Someone should have handed him over to you at Philadelphia. And she was like, nope, I don't have any kids. So she later got
and
a
how
call.
How old was he?
He's six.
Oh, gosh.
She got a call from her grandson from the airport in Orlando telling her that he had landed. And then Spirit says he was under care and the supervision of airline employees the entire time, even though he incorrectly boarded the flight to Orlando.
Oh, he did. It's his fault.
That makes no sense.
If I want to go anywhere in an airport, I need my ID and my plane ticket. And they are none too happy at TSA to tell you when you are wrong. It's their it's his fault.
But also, I just, the technology of when you scan, you know, because again, for Home Alone 2, right? Yeah. The scene we watched, because I just watched it on Christmas, when Kevin McAllister is trying, he's chasing his dad. But it's the wrong guy. It's just a guy who has the same code as his dad. And he runs into the flight attendant and all the tickets, the paper tickets, because it's the 90s, go flying in the air and they're late and they got aboard. So he's like, my ticket's somewhere in there. So she can't check the ticket. And that's how he gets on the plane to New York, right? Now, with technology, I'm pretty sure Spirit Airlines works in the same way as far as you scan the barcode on your ticket.
Yep.
Before you get on the plane.
Yeah.
So how did they just not scan his ticket for the little error message to be like, this is the wrong flight?
Well, was he just so short that he just walked through it and it's like, nobody saw him. I don't know. I'm just speculating. I don't know how they can say that he was under the care and supervision of an employee the entire time and yet ended up on the wrong flight.
Well, a couple of things. First, Brian Kelly, Civic Media's very own Brian Kelly said something about a child chauffeur. Usually there's someone at the airport to help children get to the right place, or they allow their parents to go beyond TSA check-in because they're with a child. But also, remember, it's Spirit. If you want to get on the right flight, it's going to cost you more. And then it's an upcharge to actually get you to the right city. So really, he was working within the Spirit milieu of flying. So the fact that he even made it to Florida, I mean, that's basically like getting like peanuts for free on that plane.
Oh, well, yeah. Considering it's Spirit is your point. Yes. Kristen, as a new mom, would you let a six-year-old Frankie Lou get on a plane by herself? That blows my mind that parents, I could see maybe 9 or 10. And even that.
What's the difference in maturity there?
It's between 6 and 10.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot.
I'm curious. That's what I want to know. I have neither a 6 nor a 10-year-old.
I mean, I don't have a 6 or a 10-year-old.
Exactly. Either, don't judge me.
Our niece, who's 6.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that when she flies, because her dad lives in Arizona and her mom lives here, like someone's always flying with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like one of the parents.
Right.
And it's not just. But I always thought the same thing when living in either New York, especially New York, right? When you see kids on the subway,
yeah,
or kids on the bus, and now it feels like, whoa, that is that you look at it and you're like, you're young to be on here by yourself. But I don't think in times past that you have a lot more responsibility, especially city kids, more rural kids and other maybe responsibilities in other ways. But I don't know. 6 feels really young.
I mean, when you see a kid on a subway, it's almost like they're lost in New York.
But they're usually not. Like, that's just being a city kid,
yeah.
Right?
I make a Home Alone 2 reference, and you don't get that. Thanks. I'm done. I'm just going to be the weather guy.
No,
it's cold outside. There you go.
All right. It's fine. It just stuck out to me that
it's common though. I mean, I go kids.
You
fly,
see kids flying alone?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I've seen kids flying alone. But like I said, they usually have some sort of chaperone, whether it be the parent, grandparent, or someone from the airline that'll help out. But yeah, Kristen, the point you're bringing up is very clear as far as like whether you're an adult or a child. If you have the ticket, they scan it, it should be like a big buzzer noise or something. We're like, oh, you're on the wrong flight, honey. You need to go over to this gate. The fact that he got on, and the fact that they said he got on the wrong flight. No, you let him on the wrong flight.
Well, somebody wasn't watching him. And yeah.
He's going to Disney.
That was not a good thing. Calvin says that there's a movie, a Christmas movie called Unaccompanied Minors, all about kids flying on their own.
Boy, that sounds awful.
Is it a horror movie, Calvin?
No, it's like a comedy and the kids like take over the airport and deliver presents or something. I don't know exactly.
Good Lord.
Put that on your next Christmas list.
let me pitch this to you. A hijacking, but with presents.
And kids.
And
kids. All right. Kristen Bry, what are you doing with the rest of your day? Frankie Lou's at the nanny, isn't she?
Frankie Lou's at the nanny. I'm going to go work out now. I signed up for this month-long yoga pass, and I was really good that first week, and the last 2 weeks I have not gone at all. So I am going to go stretch and feel a little bit better after the holidays. So that's kind of what I have in store.
Great to see you. Great to talk to you. Love you, my friend. Stay with us when we return. Simone Biles' husband, Mr. Biles, makes quite a claim.
See,
you're listening
Biles.
To As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind. Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the